rewarding to director a movie. That's more rewarding, I think, just because it was such a long process and it was fun.
But what is it like to direct other actors?
It's so fun. I kind of just felt like I was an audience watching just talented people work. And I just wanted to create a safe space, like a loving, safe space.
Yeah, but when you want to do, like, sort of guide an actor in a specific way, mm-hmm. did you feel...
Yeah, I guess, well, being an actor, I just wanted to be really loving. Like, I feel like whenever I work with a director, I feel like they're very loving and supportive. Then I just want to be my best self for them. So I just felt like I cast people I thought were really talented, and I just wanted to make them feel really appreciated and just ask for what I want. And just kind of, you know, in a certain way, you have to, like, just turn it over to them because it just becomes their thing. And you're just kind of observing them be.
But, like, the gentle nudging into a certain, I don't know, a line delivery.
Yeah.
Did you ever have, like, oh, this isn't how I heard it in my head moment?
Well, I hired some people that were funny and they would improv stuff. So sometimes I would just kind of let them go with their thing. I mean, occasionally somebody would go off on a tangent. I'd be like, that's not right. I'd be like, maybe don't do that. Go do this. Like, I like that, like, where you're going with this, but stop doing that. I would do that.
And then what about, like, in editing? Did you... like,
it's weird looking at your own face.
Oh God.
Isn't it weird?
Oh, you're so, just like, I fucking hate. I'm like, why the fuck did I do that move with my mouth and my neck? Whatever.
I know. You got to get past that and just go like, okay, I got to get past that and just watch it. And then it's easy to be hard on yourself, but then you can get past that and just go, okay, the story I'm trying to tell, how can I just tell that the most clearly?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So because this is such an important time, I think, you know, for women.
Yeah, what do you think?
I think it's so fucking rad.
Isn't it amazing?
I work on a show where there's, you know, 5 female leads.
That's badass.
We're all above the age of, you know, of 40. And it feels
so... You look so young. I would have thought you were like 32.
Okay. No, well... Thank you, Heather Graham.
No, I'm serious.
It's all my healthy living.
That's good. That's good. Wine. It keeps you young.
But no, it feels incredibly...
But you've always created your own stuff, right? Because I remember when you did House Bunny, that was cool.
Yeah, but so I moved here, not to make this podcast about
I want to
me.
Interview you.
Yeah. I moved here during that time when in 1999, when there was like a whole like plethora of teen movies. Like there was
that's right.
Am I using that word? Ooh, whatever. We can examine that later.
Wait, because you were in Lost in Translation.
Yeah,
and you play the funny actress.
I like it that you call her funny. I think she was just horrible.
Yeah,
but but the time of all these teen movies, so it felt like there were a lot of jobs, you know, that you auditioned for. At least, you know, I
me too. Yeah,
and then there was a shift into sort of. When that started to die down, how do you continue to work? Mm-hmm. And how do you, like, create your own projects? Mm-hmm. And
yeah, because I feel like as an audience member, I want more things for women. Like, we're stories about women. Like, you're telling a story about women. That's cool. But I wish there were more. You know?
Yeah. 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 And I'm a fucking jerk. I want to see, like, women be jerks.
When I was watching your movie this morning and the scene with the studio executives, and you were saying, like, what if the slut actually fought back and was the killer? And, you know, I would love to see a movie like that. And it was interesting to see how for so long Hollywood would only have a certain type of movie. And you're right. Now
you don't even think about it. As like a young girl growing up, you watch movies and it's how you start to think about the world. And you don't even think about how much we're programmed to be in the sexist society, you know, because all these movies are made by men, written by men,
right?
Distributed by men, written about in a large part by men. So we're being told what our lives should be by all these men.
Do you remember getting a script and like the character description was like, she slowly unbuttons her top? And I mean, I never got those roles, but I remember in the scripts being like, that's the character introduction. Like, I remember in 8 Mile auditioning for Brittany Murphy's part in 8 Mile, and I remember the character description was something like, a honey dipped girl wanders in with like her breasts like popping out of, you know, her blouse, and thinking like, oh fuck, that is not me. I don't know how to.
You're kind of honey dipped. You got blonde hair.
But I so didn't feel those.
It's like a guy's perception.
Exactly.
Of a woman.
It wasn't like, anyway. Yeah. So directing was a big reward.
I loved
reward.
It. I really loved it so much. Because I guess I just wanted to make a movie that empowers women, because I feel like watching movies, I just get frustrated seeing female characters be victimized a lot or be like always be the supporting role. Or I just feel like the really great, powerful parts are like not that much. And I usually never got them. So I'm like, I want to write a part that I feel is empowering to women.
I love
that. Story. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
Yeah. And it's about like friendship, female friendship, and how we are so powerful and wonderful. And just watching women win in stories, I think, is cool too. Like watching them in the end be happier than they were in the beginning.
So important now.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for doing that.
Oh, the movie's called Half Magic. We should let everyone know that. And it's available on iTunes, and you can actually see it in theaters as well.
Yeah, it's on like every different streaming, iTunes.
How do you, when you're promoting it, do you want people to actually see the movie in the theaters versus or seeing it on TV at the...
I think either way is great. I mean, it's fun to watch it with people. I have some friends that are like, I'm getting my girlfriends together, because it's kind of like a girlfriend's movie, though it was funny. Somebody tweeted me over the weekend, this guy was like, I lost the coin toss with my wife and ended up watching Half Magic, because I guess, you know, he wanted to watch a guy movie. But it was funny, but he's like, but then I ended up really liking it and really liking the characters, and just I hope Heather Graham directs another movie. So I retweeted it. I'm like, thank you.
Seriously, all men should watch this movie, because they'll learn a lot about women as well. So it's,
thank you.
I think it's like, yeah, I mean, it was very, very enjoyable.
I mean, because we always go to, I feel like women always go like, oh yeah, I'll go with my boyfriend to his guy movies. And like, we always go see guy movies. But I don't know, guys, I feel like, are not as willing sometimes to watch the girl movies with us.
You know what? I think there's also the like an unwillingness to concede sort of an appreciation.
Mm-hmm.
I get a lot of like, oh yeah, my girlfriend likes you. Like, I'm
sure.
Or like, oh yeah. Well, I also get a lot of like, my mom really loves your show. Whatever. But anyway.
That's good, though.
It's good. It's all good.
Yeah,
but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah,
but I think that there's the...
It's like, it's a prejudice, because it's like, oh, men's films are for everyone, but women's films are just for a small audience, which isn't true, you know?
And same thing with authors.
Yeah. But
what would you say about romantic comedies in general? Would you say romantic comedies are generally directed towards women? Because I know I have all my buddies, all my guy friends love romantic comedies.
I know. Aren't they great?
Yeah.
They're not really making as many anymore.
I know. Why is that?
Sim?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to press you on this.
I know where you're going with this. I know where this is not the time.
What are your favorite romantic comedies?
Yeah.
Well, that's what she's doing.
Heather asked you that.
My favorite romantic comedy, it's incredibly polarizing now as it gets older and as it ages.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But Love Actually.
Of course. You know.
Oh, thank you.
I mean,
so
I haven't watched it recently. But
did you like it?
I mean, all of those movies are great, right? Like,
Anna has a big problem with it.
Oh, really? Tell me.
Listen. I don't like a spread out storyline. I don't like multiple.
Yeah, it's like movies where they cast like 20 movie stars and you can't really follow
exactly.
one plot.
Yeah.
But if it works, if you like
because
every single subplot.
For me, I want to invest emotionally in the in a singular relationship.
Yeah,
and
the beauty of this is that you don't have to invest in a singular relationship.
That's
and
why
if
you're
you hate
fucked
a certain...
up, you fucking. Dick.
But I like. All right. See, this is how I knew
sorry.
I was going to lose this argument.
Sorry, Heather. I like the movie. Listen, it's enjoyable for sure.
Yeah.
Most deaf.
Thank you. I'm glad Heather enjoyed it.
But no.
Sorry. To be honest, actually, I've never seen it. Sorry. I just went along with that because I was
you've never seen it?
No, I'm like out of the loop. Okay. I just pretended I saw it.
Okay, wait. What's your most favorite romantic comedy?
Well, okay, I feel sort of guilty saying this because it used to be Tootsie, right? But now that all these people made these allegations against him, I feel kind of bad as it being my favorite comedy.
I feel like that's lofty. That's awesome.
Is it? But okay, so Tootsie, but let me just back up. Harold and Maude. I don't know
amazing.
If that qualifies
that
as
does.
A comedy.
Oh, but Heather, come on, give us a guilty pleasure.
A guilty pleasure.
Yeah, like the one when you're really sick, you feel kind of loopy.
Episodes of Sex and the City.
Oh, yeah. All right. All right. I'll take
the
that.
The one where Sarah Jessica Parker, she sees Mr. Big. He has like his wedding party at the plaza and she's walking out and there's like a horse and she's like, some women can't be tamed. We just need to run free and be wild. I don't know. Do you know this episode?
Yes,
that was, like,
I do.
I would replay that episode. Over and over. And right before they're all sitting in like the restaurant talking about like the way we were, something about the Barbra Streisand.
Yes.
And like that was an amazing episode of Sex and the City.
Okay, what about like Pretty Woman?
Yeah. I mean, it's great.
Harry Met Sally?
Yeah. Yeah.
Cassie?
Oh, yeah.
I love The Proposal.
That was fun. Yeah.
No.
No. No. No. Listen to Sim. No.
I don't know. I didn't love that
you
movie.
You said that in such a lackadaisical
way. Well, I mean, I love Julia Roberts and Richard Gere together, but not in that movie.
Which movie did you
Pretty
love
Woman.
Them in?
That's it. I love them there.
Okay. Do you mind, Heather, if we play a game?
Okay, yeah.
This is Deal Breakers.
Okay, okay. Yeah, I was listening to you do this with Whitney Cummings.
Oh, okay.
It was
I'm
funny.
I'm sorry. All right, so I'm not going to inquire if you are single or, you know, whatever.
I'm single.
So, Deal Breakers.
Okay.
He drives an old police car, but is not a policeman.
How did you think that up? Have you ever known anyone like that?
I just want to listen to you laugh for a while.
Oh my God, it's pretty good. I don't know. I mean, it's weird. That's for sure. I don't know. Maybe it's not bad enough to be a deal breaker, but I would be slightly concerned.
Why?
Why does he have an old police car?
Well, because he was a school patrol guard back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's not crazy about authority. But he
is
also,
he eccentric in a cool way? Like,
yeah.
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 Is it like really like, is it well maintained or is it just really dirty and messy and like lots of trash in the back? And
there's, let's say there's a few like Burger King bags.
So is it like a classic old car or it's just like a trashy, disgusting heap of junk?
Well, somewhere in between. I want to make
How
this
cute term. Is he?
He's pretty hot. He's pretty hot. But he has a, you know, an undercurrent of anger.
Oh, really?
Or like...
Deal breaker.
Yes.
No, right,
yes,
right. Yes. I know. Yeah. I was trying to make that challenging.
Undercurrent of anger.
Yeah,
is,
I know. That's, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I know.
It never turns out well. Especially if they turn it at you.
On the second date, he calls his mom and says, I'm just at dinner with my girlfriend.
Ooh.
Wow. He's like, Mom, can I call you back? I'm just at dinner with my girlfriend.
I guess it would depend on how into him I was. If I was like, love at first sight, like this guy's so hot. I do tend to do this. I go into a fantasy in my mind. Like you meet someone, you're like, this is the one. Now I'm happy. I figured it out. I just need to be with this guy, you know, which is bad. I'm trying not to do that, but I totally can do that sometimes.
Oh God, yeah. Because I think that as sort of passionate people, that's what happens.
I don't know you, but I'll just put an amazing fantasy on you and just decide, like, now I figured my life out.
Yeah.
Is that most women, like, right away? Like,
I don't know if it's most women.
If you really like the guy, do you think most women immediately see themselves and they have the fantasy of all of that? Yes?
You're like, everything you want. You know, if he fits enough of the bill, you know, you just start going, oh, my God, now I figured it out. I don't need to date anymore. I don't need to date, you know, like this guy.
But what would be the top four things
that you would I'm looking for?
Yeah.
I kind of like, you know, I guess you have to be like attracted to the person, like something, not necessarily the exact same thing with every guy, but feel some sort of chemistry and then feel like that you can talk to him and that you feel like you're enjoying talking to him. And I guess you don't want to be with like a jerk. You want him to be a good guy and then fun. I don't know. What are your top four things?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Oh, I mean, I think you sort of knocked them all out there. I think, I don't know, I'm 41. I think, I mean, it feels so stupid to say something obvious like sense of humor.
Right.
Because
well,
that
yeah,
is
you have
so
such a good
linked.
Sense of humor. You don't want to be with someone who does no sense of humor, right?
Thank you. But no, but because that's so linked to intelligence or like how we connect.
Yeah.
And like,
it's fun because ultimately at the end of the day, you can be attracted to someone, but you have to hang out with them all the time. And if you're not having fun hanging out with them, then you don't really have anything.
I like the idea of priority. If somebody doesn't prioritize what I deem as small things in life, mm-hmm. Is everything put away? Or like,
you're really neat, is that what you're saying?
No. Oh, I'm a really fucking mess.
Okay Yes. So you can't be with a guy who's like OCD clean.
I just want our priority to like, yeah. like, you know, I want the things to line up. Like,
and cleanliness is important for you not to have no. to be. Yeah.
Yes,
exactly.
Yes.
I'm filthy. Okay. I'm disgusting.
But no, your house looks, you know, clean.
That's sweet of you to say.
It looks clean.
Because there's a little team
okay.
around here sometimes.
Good to have a team.
I may or may not have ringworm right now.
Oh, interesting.
Don't lick my armpit.
Once I met a guy who had gout. Isn't that weird that people actually still get gout?
Is that from like eating a lot of meat?
I feel like it's if happens? You don't eat fruit.
It's a swollen foot, right?
Yeah, something
yeah, your
like
foot
that.
Gets really big.
It's like
I
these
think.
Old-fashioned yeah. diseases that...
Wow. I don't know, but listen, give me a guy with gout.
Really? So you like a messy guy. You want him more messy than you? Just like... slobby guy. It is kind of nice a guy that's not too perfect. You don't want him to be like so perfect.
I want like the grander things in life.
Yeah.
Because we all work so hard.
Yeah.
And,
yeah,
yeah. And
well,
so
you're working your butt off.
So are you,
yeah.
dude?
Yeah, I am. But like a TV show where you work like 9 months out of the year, like 15 to 16 hours a day probably, right?
I do have a lot of fucking lines. And by lines, I mean those words that I have to memorize. And by those words I have to memorize, I mean the faces that I have to express with them.
You know, you could get one of those earbuds, you know, that Marlon Brando couldn't learn his yeah. lines at the end. So he put this little piece thing in his ear and the people would feed him his lines.
Heather, is there any chance you could talk to Chuck Lorre and say like,
he's not going to like that, huh?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. He might.
You know, I worked
coming
with Johnny Depp a while ago, and he did have like a little earbud thing, and he would put music in it, and like they would wire every set and play music in his earbud that he thought would like inspire him in the scene.
That's amazing. But what about the lines of dialogue too?
I don't know that he was doing that.
So he memorized
the lines.
He had
like a DJ guy that would travel around with him on his jobs and be like, you know, they would play songs through this earbud that he would listen to during a scene.
A special DJ that's just...
Isn't that...
For Johnny Depp, yeah. that only playing music for his ears and no one else?
Yes, in an earbud. And then I was like, what are you listening to? And occasionally he was like, let me listen to it. I mean, that's an interesting job description, right? It's like, if you hire me, you also need to hire my wiring DJ guy.
Yeah.
I have no idea whether I admire him more or admire him less. Oh, okay. All right. So he has two twin beds in his bedroom.
Wow. Like they're not pushed together? They're just separated. Like he doesn't want to sleep in the same bed with the woman that he's with.
Well, here's where it gets a little complicated maybe. Yeah, if you want to explore it.
Yeah.
If that's the kind of thing that you look at and you're like, I'm
is that
out,
a deal breaker for you?
Oh, it would really have to be like a lot of the leading moments up. I'm already at his place.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
He's intrigued.
It is weird.
Me enough.
It's weird.
But we sort of thought of the idea that, you know, he wanted to give you an option.
Mm-hmm.
He may get like some night sweats. But he really wants to be close to you.
I have two good friends, and they're in a good relationship. In the very beginning, the guy told the girl, like, I can't sleep in the same bed with you because I won't be able to sleep. So that they would take turns. One of them would sleep on the floor.
Oh, my God.
But they're still together. That sounds cuckoo, right?
It works. It's great.
Yeah.
So
then eventually they started sleeping in the same bed.
Deal breaker? Twin beds?
No, it's not. I'm desperate.
I love you.
I'll put up with a lot. The police car, yes. Twin beds, yes. Girlfriend during the second date, yes. No.
You go home with a guy who says he's a vegetarian, and in the morning you catch him eating some prosciutto.
That's not good, because that's like lying, right?
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Hmm.
But I don't know. Mm-hmm. You go before I make a weird defense of the case.
Well, I guess I might want to ask more. Like, well, you said you're vegetarian. Why are you eating this prosciutto? You know? And then if he had a good explanation, I'd probably be okay with it. But if he was just, I don't know.
Heather.
Yeah, what were you?
I got to tell you.
Yeah.
I told you I was a vegetarian because I read online that you were. And
that's a deal breaker.
But I love you. I love you so much. Will you come sleep in my bed with me, my twin one?
This is a deal breaker.
Okay,
yeah,
it is.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah.
You're okay. All right. All right.
He's not being true to himself. He's not like authentic.
Okay. So, very pressing question for you. Mm-hmm. What would you prefer? A Pegasus or a unicorn? Mm.
Is it bad I don't know what a Pegasus is? I think I do.
It's a winged horse.
Oh, a winged. Okay. Yeah. Oh, wow. That's a hard question.
You can ride both.
Well, unicorns can't fly though, right?
No.
Okay, I think I have to go for the Pegasus.
Oh, all right. Yeah. So you can fly.
Okay. Yeah, what about you?
Well, it depends. If I have like an enemy that I need like to be stabbed.
Yeah, then you need the horn. Or,
yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, if I also need to, you know, fly across the Atlantic.
That's good. I like flying because I always have dreams where I'm flying and it's like my fantasy to fly. Like I have really amazing dreams at night where I believe flying around.
Okay.
But then sometimes I lose the ability to fly.
You're describing every person I've been with.
Really? But you've never had that.
Yes, I've slept with, and they, like, will wake up, and they'll be like, oh, my God, I had this amazing fucking flying dream. It was so incredible. And meanwhile, I'm like, I almost didn't know any of my lines, and I got fired.
Your whole thing is remembering
like
your lines?
Like, the anxiety. Yes, or like, yeah, or like, I had a, you know, a fucking final that I didn't study for. Ugh.
But I mean that you could just do another take if you forgot your lines. You probably could make up something funny too, right? It's not like you probably make up your own funny line.
I love you. Will you direct me?
No, I'm just reasoning you out of this fear, which is probably not really that bad, that thing.
Okay, he sleeps with an eye mask.
Not a deal breaker.
Okay. Do you sleep with an eye mask?
No.
I feel a little claustrophobic in an eye mask.
Yeah. I don't mind light in the room. I could sleep with light blaring in. It doesn't bother me.
Okay. Oh, so we do, this was taken from your movie.
Okay.
He wants to know how you feel about your personal life. And he calls you his dirty little slut during sex.
He calls me the dirty little slut during sex. It depends on the situation. In the right moment with a nice guy, I could maybe get into it. But if the guy's a jerk, like in my movie, it's not good.
I think it's so fucking hot.
Do you? Yeah, it could be fun.
It
right?
all depends on the guy. And if you're in a real relationship, if you just met the guy and he says that to you, and if you're into him, that's kind of weird, right?
You're right. It's the intention underneath it. As I was listening to one of your other podcasts, you were talking about this. But yeah, it's the intention. If you feel like you have a good bond and it's just like a fun, sexy thing, it's hot. But if it's like an asshole guy just treating you like crap, it's not hot. Yeah. I watched this interesting TED Talk. It was a guy. He's like, I'm tired of being man enough. It's really interesting if you want to check it out. Just like feeling like as a guy, you're not allowed to express your feelings, or that if you are vulnerable or loving, that then you're called gay. And it's sort of about him like just saying like, I want to be an emotional person. I wanted that. It's cool. It's a cool TED Talk.
And I guess that I always resented being born a girl.
Yeah.
So maybe I guess this
I know, because it's like such a sexist society. You're like, why can't I be the lead in the action movie? Or why can't I like... Just it seems easier to be a guy, though. I guess I'm not a guy, so I don't know. Is it easier to be a guy?
I was just talking to Anna about this earlier, and my wife says it all the time. She always says, you know, like you have no idea how difficult it is. And you're all right. I don't.
We have to do so many things to our bodies and our grooming, and our hair. It's like the amount of work that we have to put into this stuff.
No, I get it. I don't think I'll ever understand, but I'm very happy that I don't have to go through 10% of the stuff that you guys have to go through.
Sim,
it's true.
Why does that feel so disingenuous?
If there's anything more I could do, I would do it. But
there are fun things about being a woman, though, too. Like,
we get to play with our tits and our clits.
Yeah, supposedly the clit has more nerve endings than the penis.
Yeah, we got a lot of nerves.
You guys sold me, then. I guess I was born the wrong gender.
No, but of course there's like hard things about being a dude as well.
What's the hardest thing about being a guy?
No, honestly.
What's the hardest thing?
I've lived a very charmed life. Yeah.
Come on. It's true. I mean, there's
even all the added pressure.
What's the hardest?
Isn't it hard to feel like, oh, am I pleasing her?
That's always difficult. That's always hard. But that's not the hardest.
What's the hardest?
The hardest thing about being a man?
Yeah.
Wow. Oh my God. I guess it's the expectation and the pressure to perform.
Is it like
a
money, like make money?
It's like you have to be on top of your game on everything. And if you're not, or if you are, then someone else is trying to knock you out. So you have that pressure as well. I'm not saying because I'm at the top of whatever, but I'm just saying that I always feel pressure to perform in all aspects of
life. What about emotionally? Do you feel like you're not allowed to have feelings? You're always supposed to be like strong and stoic?
I'm lucky enough to be with a woman that understands that I'm an emotional guy and I can talk about my feelings. And it's real. And what you were talking about
earlier. Where's your family
from? My family?
Yeah.
From India.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Hmm. So, I mean, that really hasn't played into my upbringing as much as far from how they raised me. But but yes, I guess it has in the sense that I've always have to do well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pressure.
So that pressure is hard. The pressure to do well.
You
in
have
all
the masculine
of
pressure of like.
Right. Right. Yeah. Exactly. But that's about everything. But that's nothing compared to what you guys go through. You guys have all of that and more.
I think that's sweet of you to say, but it also feels kind of weirdly dismissive.
What do you mean?
I know. I don't mean to start an argument here, but I think that. I don't know. My parents raised me to be like my mom was always like, you are going to make your own money. Mm. Never, ever depend on a man.
Mm.
And so I think it's sort of not like, there's additional challenges for sure. Mm. And you figure out how to navigate those waters.
Just childbirth. Forget. I mean, I can't even imagine what goes on inside your bodies.
I've never had it.
Your organs and you're being pushed aside as this baby's, I mean, growing inside your body and like they're growing arms and organs inside your body and you have no idea what's happening.
But there is a cool movie about Russian water births. It's called Birth Into Being, and that they say that it's orgasmic people claim. Yeah, it's a crazy thing. There's a woman who's like a doula or something, and she gives birth to her kid in a watery tub that is glass. You can look through. She had two of her kids are sitting in the tub with her. She gives birth to her own baby. It pops out.
What?
It's crazy. You have to watch it.
Okay. I was like, epidural. I think that we're in this really interesting time in sort of human civilization, I guess. And this sounds lofty. Maybe a touch stonery, even though I have not
Are you stone right now?
No, I know. Oh my God. You would think.
Yeah. No, but I think the idea of why I stopped believing in God for a little while was when I was a kid, I was given a child's Bible. And I just thought, well, if God wanted to make women the weaker sex, couldn't they have made us stupider, and that way we would be happier, and then we could sort of appease the smart man and whatever. I sort of spun out on that for a while, and I was angry for a long time. But
I think all women are a little angry about sexism. It's kind of like, I'm sure, racism. Like, you got to be kind of pissed off about it if you have to deal with it. It's like being a woman. Some women are like, no, it doesn't bother me. But I just think it does. Like, it bothers you at some level, even if you're not admitting it, you know?
Oh, yeah. And there's glorious things to it, of course. Mm. But being pregnant and giving birth to me felt like I was this vessel in this and had this wonderful secret of being able to like kind of grow this thing that's now unfucking believable. Mm. And he's, you know,
you're making it sound amazing,
but at the same time feeling such a loss of identity and that my all I had accomplished was sort of dissipating.
And why? You're accomplishing so much in like making a person.
I think though that it felt like, okay, is Hollywood going to view me as now a mom? Mm. Or, you know, every time I went to the doctors, it was like, okay, the baby's doing great. And it was like, okay, all right, this is my job. Then I guess I can't, like I'm on restriction for this thing that is growing inside of me. And I've never, and it was childish of me to have that reaction, but that's how I felt.
And but you did it anyway.
I did it anyway.
Was it like a biological thing? You just always wanted a kid or?
No.
Yeah.
No, just, I didn't.
Really?
No.
It just happened and you were like, this feels right?
Well, no, that's not exactly true. Chris and I had been trying for a while, but I... you are an interviewer.
I like asking. Listen, my friends always call me the interviewer. Maybe I need to have a podcast. I like
you should have your own podcast.
I like asking people questions. It's interesting. Molly Shannon is like that too. Whenever we go to a party together, she asks everyone so many questions. She knows everything about them by the end of the night.
It's an incredible quality though.
It's fun. Because
curiosity that's a great.
It's interesting.
Quality.
I've never had a kid, so I'm just curious what it's like. You know.
Ugh. Ow. Ow. Why? Me? No. I'm young, right? No. Are my tits still nice? I don't know. That's what it is. That was a summation. Okay. You are dating a guy who is also into TM.
Yeah, that's cool.
Except he does TTM. Which is topless transcendental meditation.
He takes his shirt off and meditates?
And he'd really like it if you did that as well.
Well, for dating, I'm probably already taking my shirt off with him, right? Or you're just saying in the early days, like the first date or something?
I don't know how soon you take your top off with a dude. I don't know.
The first date, for sure. No. I try to hold off to like the third date at least.
Yeah. All right. What do you think about topless?
That's fine with me.
Okay, but what about this? You're meditating and you sort of open your eyes and you find him like completely glued to your nipples.
Oh my God. And we haven't had sex yet? Like, or have we been dating for a while? We have not had sex.
This
yet.
Is like your third date. Okay. Third or fourth date.
We have not had sex.
No.
Okay. I guess it depends on how cute he is and how into him I am. Maybe
he's pretty cute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Are you kind of in this thing where you're, is he creepy or is he just like a cute guy who wants to meditate?
He's a cute guy, but it might be a tiny bit weird that he wants you to take your shirt off. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know, Heather. This is your guy. I don't know.
Yeah. I guess it depends on how good the chemistry is. Is it really good chemistry, like amazing, or just like not
it's
that
pretty
much?
Good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I could probably live through that one.
All right. All right.
Not I have low standards, bigger. As I said. Send me your weirdos, your basket cases. If they have a problem that I can fix, that's my type.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Thank you.
So now we are going to go.
Let's do the calls.
Okay.
Okay. Do you know about this part? You do know
I did.
About
I listened to one of. Yeah, yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah.
By the way, you're fucking amazing.
It's
Thank
fun
you.
Talking to you. Yeah, I've always thought you were so good. Like,
Thank
I love
you.
Your work. Yeah, it's really great.
All right. So we're going to call Mira first. Mira is in Louisville, and she's 23.
Hello?
Hey, Mira. It's Sim.
Hi. How are you?
I'm good. How are you? I'm going to introduce you to Anna right now.
Hi, Mira.
Hi. Oh, my God. Hi.
Hi. Thank you so much for doing this. You're so lovely.
And she's going to introduce our guest.
And our guest is the most amazing Heather Graham. Hi.
Hi. Oh, my goodness. I get to talk to new people I really love and Sim, who I also love.
Oh, thank
this
you.
This is exciting.
So, Mira, tell us what's going on at work.
All right. So what's been happening at work is I've kind of been getting bullied. I'm not really sure. But lately I got promoted to a better group where I'm no longer taking calls. Now I'm responding to people in written. But basically these girls have gotten super rude and like catty towards me. I get acknowledged for my work because I do really good at my job, and people like they give me gift cards and they'll literally like yell across the office that I don't deserve it, or that I'm just being a try hard, or that I'm just doing too much and I'm making their jobs hard. One girl in particular told me I just shouldn't show up into work because I'm making her life hard.
Wait, Mira, what did she say? What was the quote that she said?
She told me on numerous occasions I shouldn't just show up to work because I make her job hard.
Who the fuck are these people? What's your job? Is that okay to ask?
My job's kind of complicated. I work for a stock company, and I actually have to handle very like extensive questions in regard to their accounts and just stuff that doesn't make sense. And I find it to be a very easy job. We all got the same amount of training, but these like three girls that are just
mean
I don't
girls.
Want to say lazy.
Sounds like the movie Mean Girls.
They're really mean. One of them actually told my boyfriend when I introduced him at the Christmas party, she looked him dead in the face and said, "Why do you even like her?" and cut off all communication and like walked off.
Oh, get them fired.
That's probably not. I'm not really know what to do. If I should just go to HR, because they say these things in front of my, my manager, they'll actually be like, "You should take that gift card away because you've already given her like five," or "She's cheating on whatever." And they don't really care, which makes me feel like maybe I'm either being really insecure or maybe I should just go to HR, but I'm not sure what to do exactly.
So these are your bosses aren't saying anything after, I mean, they're witnessing all of this, right? They're witnessing the bullying.
Yeah. Everybody is seeing this. It's like, I'm kind of getting put like on a pedestal, and then they're like literally being like, "She doesn't deserve any of this. She doesn't do anything."
Do you have like a friend at work who's like in a higher up position that you could talk to about it? So it's not totally human resources, or I mean, that could be good too. But do you have somebody that you feel comfortable with that you like that like each other? You feel like you could tell them about it?
I don't really know anyone at work. This sounds awful. I've been there for like 2 years and I don't really talk to people. I kind of keep my head down. And the only time I ever actually talk is when people come up to me. I don't really like go out of my way to talk to anybody. And my only friend there, she got fired like a year ago. So I really don't know anyone.
Sounds like she's getting punished for doing well at work.
Yeah.
Right?
But also is there one person in particular that feels, this is sort of out of curiosity, but one person in particular that feels like the ringleader?
One of them used to be kind of nice to me, but then I just started getting acknowledged more for processing more items than other people and just for my quality. That when I was actually assigned to help her with a project, and that's when like it just started getting even worse from there.
That sucks. What do you do when they're rude to you? Do you ever say like, do you ever say anything? Like, "Hey, I don't like it when you talk to me like that. Stop talking to me like that. I'm going to talk to human resources." I don't
know.
Who
the fuck are these people though? Like, sorry, Mira, I didn't mean to cut you off, Heather.
No, go.
Oh, no, you're fine. I'm not very confrontational. I kind of just kind of like, keep my head down. I take note of it and I like keep it in like my notebook of insecurity, but I really just don't really do anything.
I'm just annoyed that your bosses aren't doing anything when they're witnessing this. I hate that. I mean, that's something you just, I mean, I would, I don't know. See, the problem is if she goes to HR, then right. It could get a lot
right.
worse.
Right, right.
It totally. Could get a lot worse totally. Because her bosses don't care. Then they can say, well, she's really right. not that great. And then they'll find right. cause to fire her. And it's going to, and then
but maybe
she's
it's
gonna,
good to yeah. stand up for yourself. Like maybe this is a lesson in standing up for yourself. And if you lose the job, it sounds like you're super talented. You'll just get another one and then like not be miserable.
But she's, I mean, I would, of course, but don't you yeah. think that she would have stood up for herself already? I don't think she's you're not a confrontational person though, right, Mira?
I'm very introverted.
Would it be out of character for you?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe that's good to sometimes push yourself.
Okay, so, all right. Well, it's, and you love your boyfriend.
Oh, yeah. He's like the only person I have in my life right now.
Okay, that's amazing. So, and are you in a job where you have to communicate all the time? Do you listen to like earbuds? Like, what do you, like, how do you, are you in a cubicle? Are you in a little office? Like, what's your space like?
So the way it's all set up is they have like an open floor where you have like a desk, but you're also like in a row of people. So I usually wear headphones unless I actually have to talk with like people on further issues. So I don't tend to communicate with people I work with, and people just tend to avoid me now because I don't go out of my way to like conversate, just because I get this in like mindset that I just want to go home, like let me just do my job.
And how old are these girls that are?
Oh, they're way older than me. They're like probably between like 35 and maybe like 45. Like they're like a good 10-year difference.
What the fuck?
You sound so immature, right?
Exactly. Like, I've never. I thought they would have been the same age, like in the 20s, early 20s.
Me too.
35 to 45, oh, no. And they're being mean in front of the bosses. It just this. Have you heard of any kind of situation like that?
No.
Why would they do that? I don't make this make any sense to me.
I don't know.
I feel like, I mean, what do you, I mean, do you, we, could you exist in this job with these people treating you like this? Or do you think at the end of the day, you're just like, it's not worth it? Because, I mean, to me, talking to human resources sounds like at least it's something to do other than actually speaking up when they say something and say, don't talk to me like that, you know?
Right. And that's what I've considered is just going to HR, but I don't really know how to like just come across the, I'm doing well and they hate me for it.
Well, it sounds like you're doing your job well. Wouldn't they want to keep you and make you happy? Whereas it sounds like these three girls are like underachievers. So I would feel like they'd try to bend over backwards to make you happy as opposed to them, based on what you said.
You would think, right? If there's, she's kicking ass at work.
That's what I thought.
Oh, God. Mira, I'm so sorry.
That sucks.
I wish I had like... sometimes I feel like when we do the calls that I have sort of an easy solution. I don't know if I have one in this case
tough.
Because I don't know if going to human resources necessarily solves anything. But I do think that, you know, you should look out for your own happiness and self, you know, a sense of self.
Are you happy
know.
At this job? Or, I mean, you could also look for another job, a better job, potentially.
Oh, I love my job. I actually don't think I could find a better job because I did not do well in school. And for some reason, I got this job and they gave me all the training. And then I just flew from there. Like, I understood everything stronger
so
than
you're
anything
really good
I ever
at it.
Learned in school.
That's why they're threatened.
They're jealous.
Yeah, because
she's
really
great
good
at it.
It.
And she's making all the gift because they're not getting gift cards. If you get you get gift cards when you make like a certain number or a bonus. Is that how it works?
Right. They give out gift cards anytime someone has like extreme high productivity or is doing really well with quality or sometimes I handle VIP shareholders and they'll go out of their way to tell them how I'm doing a good job and I'll get a gift card out of it. But my job always likes to make it like a scene if you receive an award because they want everybody to get up to that expectation, I guess.
You know, you could do something if you could say detach with love and just say, okay, this is not about me. Don't take this personally. They're bitches because obviously they're unhappy in their lives and I just won't take it in. They're a bitch and
right.
It has nothing to do with me. Don't take it personally. Just be like, that's your shit. I'm sorry you're such an unhappy person, you know, but like, just don't take it in.
Yeah, Mira, I think that if you, with the exception of them, are still happy at your job, and enjoy it, they will filter out. And and you'll prevail. So I think that just
keep your head down, continue to do the work.
Like, yeah, yeah.
Don't take it personal. That's
their
problem.
But she shouldn't say anything. Though,
feels ever, like high right? school to me, like how my strategy with high school was.
Yeah.
Just like lay low, do well, and like maybe someday I'll fucking move to Hollywood.
I would look for an ally too. Maybe somebody who's higher up than you guys. And you know, if you feel comfortable, just maybe say, oh, look, in an unofficial capacity, this is happening. Right. And like, you know, I know I'm working so hard for you and I've gotten all this stuff. Can you help me out in this situation?
But that does worry me a little bit because I wouldn't want Mira to ever be perceived as a victim. So I think that that would have to be a very careful choice, you know? Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I think
well, she
this,
is the victim of bullying. Right?
For sure. Yeah, yes. Yeah. But I don't want her perceived right. as if she's good at what she does, mm-hmm. she really loves it, mm-hmm. then I wouldn't want her to be promoted because of, like, you know, I would want her to advance only because of her merits, I guess. But I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. I'm unqualified.
We care though. We hope it works out for you.
But, okay, so
don't go to human resources for now. Continue to do the work.
You know what I would do? Maybe document these things. If things sort of escalate, I would definitely go to human resources. But also know that all this shit, it fucking, you have an extreme version of workplace aggression. But most, you know, most people do. And I'm sorry that you have this extremely aggressive version of that. But yeah, I don't know. Sorry, I'm also thinking about my own. Sim is looking at me. He's like rolling his eyes.
No.
But Mira, please know that most people have had bullying in workplace environments. And, you know, and it fucking sucks. And it sucks that it's coming from women. But I think that if you power through, I think it'll be very advantageous for you.
If I was her boss, I would say she's a star employee. I'm going to continue to empower her.
I would want to know if I was her boss.
Absolutely. Yeah. I don't understand this management at all. Yeah, I've never heard anything like it.
Well, she hasn't told them yet, though.
Well, they
know.
They hear it.
Yeah.
They hear it, which is just so surprising to me. Because if they don't care enough, then, I mean, if you feel like that's going to stifle your advancement in that job, then you have to start looking for another job, especially if the bosses aren't on your side. That sucks.
Right. And I've definitely been looking at it. It's just, I think it's just hitting me a little bit harder because I was bullied all through pretty much my entire childhood in high school, like nonstop. And I felt like I was actually doing something good. And now it's just like a repeat of high school where I'm getting acknowledged, but I'm still just like that loser.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, maybe risk having a confrontation. Just say something to them directly. Like, I fucking hate it when you talk to me like this. Don't ever talk to me like that again. I don't know. You could try it. I mean, they can't fire you. They're just, you know.
Oh, Mira.
Right, they definitely can.
thank you so
Mira,
much.
Thank
God,
you. Let us know what happens.
Yes.
Give us an update. But I'm sorry you're going through this.
Thank you so much. I'll try and just buckle down through it.
We
love
you.
Love you. Thanks.
Love you. Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Last call, and we're going to call Justina now. And Justina is in Texas, and she's 25.
Hello?
Hey, Justina, it's Sim. Hi.
Hi.
Anna, say hi to Justina.
Hi, Justina.
Hi, Anna.
How are you?
Good, how are you?
And Anna's going to introduce our very special guest to you.
Heather Graham. Hi.
Hi.
So, Justina, your fiancé, first of all, congratulations. You're pregnant and you're getting married.
Thank you.
What are your conversations with your husband like? What's annoying you?
Okay, so
before I got pregnant, we always talked about, like, someday, what would we name our kid? And he really wanted to name his kid Mickey because he loved Mickey Mantle baseball, like him and his dad bonded over it. And I agreed to it, like, a long time ago when I wasn't pregnant. And whenever I got pregnant, he just kept, you know, saying the name, like, oh, I can't wait to name our kid Mickey. And the more I heard that name, the more I just hated it, and I just don't want to name my child that. And so we kind of got in a, like, a fight about it, and he thinks that I just kind of told him that at the beginning just to kind of, like, shut him up, and then I would get my way anyway. But that's not true at all. Like, I really legitimately did like the name at first. And so now there's all this, like, hostility whenever we try to talk about baby names. Because we just found out it is a boy, like, a week ago. So, like, definitely is a boy. Yeah.
And so you are you in, like, the end of the first trimester?
Yeah, I'm 20 weeks, almost 21.
Oh, my gosh. Are you feeling okay?
No, I'm good. I just feel him kicking, like, all the time.
Oh, my gosh. But you're not, like, having, like, any more nausea or, like, I don't know, legs or?
I'm super lucky because I've had a pretty good pregnancy. Like, I've been nauseous. I can probably count on all my fingers, like, how many times I've been nauseous and threw up. So.
Oh, God. Not like, well, yeah. I'm so happy for you. fuck the baby name thing. Oh, boy.
So tell us how you guys left it.
So basically, every time we try to talk about it, he doesn't like anything I suggest. And a part of me thinks it's just him kind of still angry because he was, like, so set on that name. And he keeps telling me that whatever I suggest has to really win him over because he was so set on the name that he really wanted. And same, like, he will suggest names to me, but the main thing is I come from a super Polish family. Like, I'm Polish. We speak Polish. And ever since I was a little girl, I always wanted the name to just translate. I just want, like, a simple name that just translates into Polish. And he just doesn't understand that that's super important to me. And it's just, I mean, I might just be super hormonal too because I'm pregnant, but, like, I just feel like this name thing is just, like, just causing so much friction between us right now.
Yeah, that does seem like that's a big thing. Oh boy. Okay, so you're having a boy.
Does he like any other names? Like, is he open to any other names?
I've suggested a couple, and then a few days later, he's just like, "No, I don't like that anymore."
Because there's something that feels slightly irrational about this. Maybe Sim would agree. Because
yeah.
There's something that feels like there's an undercurrent. I don't know, about something else. Maybe he's scared to be a dad. Maybe you're both scared to be parents, which, you know, fucking, yeah. I mean, I am.
Yeah.
I have no idea what the fuck I'm doing. I wonder if this is sort of a little bit of an indicator of something that's running a little deeper. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, I just know that if you're going to be carrying the baby for all that you're doing all of the, I mean, I feel like you, the guy should have no say whatsoever. You're doing all the work. I think that you should be able to name your baby and he should just be able to accept it. And that's it. Because honestly, yeah. I mean, what did the guy do? His job was easy.
Well, he's been wonderful. He goes to all my appointments and he'll always, like, cater to whatever I want to eat. And
can he come up with another name that he likes? Like, can you be like, okay, what, give me another name that you like?
Yeah. And then I don't really like them either because it kind of goes back to the whole, I just want something that translates to, you know? So he'll just come up with, like, he's suggested a couple, which I like the names. Like, I think he suggested, like, Neil the other day, Tyson. I can't really remember.
That's good.
But
so
he's
willing to move off that one name. He's got other.
Yeah, but I just really want it to translate because that's just important to my family. My sister just had twin boys, and she named them Riley and Jackson, which I love that name, those names, but there's just been so many, like, comments within the family, like,
like, yo, that's not a Polish name, blah, 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 blah. So I just don't want to deal with that.
And have you, is your fiance, can he hear like those conversations? You know what I'm saying? Like, can you talk to him about like, hey, this is important to my family? Or like, what's your dialogue like in terms of that element?
I guess I haven't really told him that part of it. Like, he knows I've been wanting it to translate, but I don't know if he knows like how much that really does mean.
Well, you need to tell him that right away. You need to tell him how important that is to you and your family so he understands that.
Why does he have so much more power over you than you do over him?
Why does he what?
Why does he have more power over you than you do to him? Because I ask this in a gentle way because I've been in this position many times in relationships. But for him to sort of instill this kind of weird fear about this particular name that he doesn't have a ton of, there's not a lot of like logical backup.
No, it's because he liked Mickey. Because he liked Mickey. He's never seen Mickey Mantle play. He wasn't born.
So I think it's just something to just think about. Don't do anything necessarily.
Yeah.
Because I'm so not qualified to talk about any of this. But I do think it's a seed that should be planted by a stranger, a celebrity in Hollywood. but do think about that because I don't quite know why his defense isn't, it's just not strong.
I mean, the main thing is he has a lot to do with his dad. He's really close with his dad and just baseball in general and that player. But his dad is just so excited that I'm pregnant and that, you know, that we're having a son. Like, I don't think he would care what we would name it.
Exactly. His dad's not going to care. What if you name Mickey, give Mickey the middle name?
Would you feel up for talking to his dad alone?
Ooh. Really? Without talking to her fiance
just
first?
Just saying like, hey, you know, we're having this, you know, we're so excited to be welcoming this beautiful new baby boy. Your son is set on this name. I'm not sure I am.
No.
Like, what would you, like, I don't know. Wouldn't
that piss off the fiance?
Why?
Because she went straight to the dad.
No. Because then maybe if she has a good relationship, sorry, I'm so sorry. I'm like leaping over things, Justina. But what if like her fiance's dad could say to her fiance, like, chill out, bro. Yo.
Yeah.
Name him fucking
what
Raj.
What about like Justina? What if you weren't thinking about your family? You weren't thinking about your husband trying to please them?
Good
what
one,
would you
Heather.
Want? Like, what name do you want your kid to have?
I've kind of been stuck on like Bartholomew.
I love that. I love that. I love Boris.
Yeah.
Oh, I love anything with a B.
Yeah.
Or Anthony, because that was my late grandpa's name, and he was super important to me. So
make yourself happy. Forget all these other people.
But you know what? This truly is like. I think it may be an extension of actually the stress of the coming baby that's coming.
Yeah.
Sort of fear.
You know, it's the small thing that's coming out of, you know, what you guys, the stress you guys are experiencing. So
that's what I'm thinking too. Because yesterday I even called my best friend and I was just crying because I was super hormonal. Like, I don't even know why I was upset. And I was like, in this name, like, we can't agree on the name. And she was like, it's not a big deal. Like, y'all will figure that out. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And you will. But I do think that, you know, in your defense, that your fiance could be a little more, you know.
He has to let her name the baby. She's carrying the baby. She's going to give birth. He has to let her name her. That's it. He has no leg to stand on whatsoever. She's doing all the work, and she'll be doing all the work after, too. She can name the baby.
Yeah.
Baby does not need to be named Mickey Mantle. I'm sorry.
But
Bartholomew is a cute, cool
yes.
name.
It is.
It's unusual.
But No, I think this is like a long dialogue, and it sucks that in this stressful time that you might have to be slightly more rational than your fiance, because that's not exactly fair to what's going on in your body. But having said that, true, right? But a name, you know, it's an important decision, and I think, I don't know. I guess just talk to him, and I would think about talking to his dad, because maybe then his dad talks to him, and says like, "Yeah, I want a little baby B."
Just hold little firm. Baby.
Hold it's gonna firm. Be okay. It's all gonna be okay.
Yeah, but
yeah.
I'm sorry though. But yeah.
Let us know what you ended up naming the baby, and congratulations, Justina.
Congratulations. I will. Yeah. Thank you.
And yes. I love you.
I love you so much, Anna. You're like one of my role models. I just want to tell you that.
Oh, thank you. I love you. Will you please keep us posted on what happens?
I will.
All right. Love you.
Thanks. Bye.
Love you. Bye.
Oh, God. I wouldn't know what to do.
What do you mean? I just don't understand why this guy it's even a conversation at this point. She's carrying the baby. End of story. She can name the baby anything she wants.
Or at least be a compromise, right? Like, she shouldn't be forced to name.
Yes. Well, okay. Compromise. Yeah. That's fine. But yeah. I mean, if he's staying firm on Mickey, that's ridiculous. That's so short-sighted and narrow-minded and just an awful dick guy thing to do. I'm sorry. It is.
It does feel like there's something else going on. Ugh. You know, like he's scared. She's scared.
I mean, they're both, they're about to have a baby, their first baby. I'm sure it's scary.
Yeah. Oh.
All right. Well, we should wrap this
Heather,
up.
Yeah, thanks.
I love you so much.
Aw.
And
you're awesome.
Yes.
Half Magic is out.
I'm going to call you with my relationship problem.
Please, oh, come back. Will you come back? Yes.
You're terrible. Yeah. Did you not recognize them?
That's funny.
Thank you again. I love you, dear listeners.
Thank you. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Bye.